Well, hello there and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kieran Mack, as always, and delighted and excited that you've been able to tune in with us yet again. Now, before we do get into today's stories, don't forget to like, subscribe and share this video if you are watching us on YouTube. If you like listening to us on a podcast player, as always, guys, down below in the description is a little link. And if you click on it, it'll show you all the available podcast players that the show is on. And finally, if you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can do so by clicking the link down below for the buymeacoffee.com link, and you can just buy us an old latte or cappuccino, whatever you choose to do. So now that that's all done and dusted, we're going to jump into our top stories today, and we're just going to start off with a little one. The cyclone Mocha will bring rain to Thailand until this Monday, so if you're here in Thailand at the moment, beware, it could get wet. Cyclone Mocha will not directly hit Thailand after it makes landfall in Myanmar this Sunday, but it will bring rain from today through Monday with isolated heavy downfalls in some areas, according to the Thai Meteorological Department. It has advised small vessels in the Andaman Sea to remain ashore from tomorrow until Tuesday due to rough seas from waves of 2 to 3 meters. 47 provinces across Thailand, except in the south, are forecast to see continuous rain today due to the southerly and southeasterly winds which are blowing through northern Thailand. People living at the bases of mountains or near natural waterways are advised to brace for flash floods and overflows. There will be thunderstorms in 70% of the northern, central and northeastern provinces until 5 a.m. tomorrow. 60% of Bangkok and its peripherals are expected to see rain with isolated heavy showers in some areas. So that's just a quick update for people who are here in Thailand. It is may get and is going to get wet in the next couple of days. So moving along now, we have a story. Zero chance of a coup. Now, you know when they say zero chance of a coup. Army Chief General Narangpan Jitakawate on Wednesday provided assurances that no coup will take place while he is in charge, saying the word coup should not exist in anyone's vocabulary. General Narangpan, who will retire in September 30th, spoke to the media in the lead-up to Sunday's general election amid concerns that the country may experience unrest after the polls. Asked if he is concerned about the potential of future unrest that could prompt a reaction from the military, the army chief said he wasn't. "I don't worry, we have learned many lessons from the past," General Narangpan said. "We have reached a point where democracy has to go ahead. Everyone should be mindful and avoid what should not be done." Asked whether another coup will occur after the election, General Narangpan said reporters should not raise such a matter as this could stir up conflict. "The term should not be used. It's not appropriate. I want reporters to remove it from their dictionary," the army chief said. Quizzed on whether the military should also remove the word from its vocabulary, General Narangpan said, "Of course it's removed." Asked whether he can confirm that during his stint as army chief, soldiers will not act in any way that raises concern among the public, General Narangpan said, "I cannot say whether the country will be peaceful. I mean that peace can only be achieved by everyone working together. But I can assure you that what occurred," and that he's speaking of coups in the past, "the chance is zero now," he said. Asked for thoughts about a change of the status quo, the army chief said that change is inevitable, though things should change for the better rather than the worse. "The country needs to be peaceful so the economy can grow. But if we are in conflict and stir up unrest, the country will be in chaos and people will be in trouble. Everyone must work together in the country's best interests," he said. General Narangpan said he has encouraged army personnel to exercise their democratic rights to vote this Sunday. The army, through all its channels of communication, has urged all personnel and their families to carry out their duty as good citizens by casting their votes, he said. The army chief also downplayed a move by some political parties to replace conscription with voluntary recruitment if they form a government after the election. "They have the right to carry out their policy if they become the government, but the military also has the right to explain why conscription is necessary," he noted. "Everyone has the right to agree or disagree with conscription. We can have different opinions, that's normal," he said. Asked to comment if the Move Forward party, which has been critical of the military, can be part of the coalition government after the poll, the army chief said, "That's about the future. No one knows about it until after the election. It is up to political parties to form a coalition, while military personnel are not political office holders." General Narangpan went on to say that he has issued guidelines for how army personnel can behave in the lead-up to Sunday's election. "Entering a polling station with t-shirts bearing the name of political parties is against the law," the army chief warned. So that's a little bit about the current head of the military here in Thailand. Now, he is saying all the right things. If we compare basically back to previous generals. They haven't been quite as clear-cut as this guy. Now, on the other hand, he also is retiring in September, so it's hard to know exactly what will transpire when a new head of the military is installed. And bearing in mind is also that the current election that will take place this Sunday, they're not expected to have any results as to who will be the prime minister till August or September of this year. So kind of, you know, you can read into that whatever way you want. But nevertheless, I mean, his words are quite good. He's saying the right things. And I do believe that there is too much focus, especially by the media, on this whole idea of a coup. I'm not quite sure Thailand can survive another coup from the sanctions and the economic fallout that it would have in terms of a coup. So it's, I think a lot of people understand that another coup would be very devastating for this country. Now, moving along, and kind of a little bit of information, but what you need to know about this Sunday's Thailand general election. I think this is quite an interesting article, and it'll help you get a kind of an idea of what's going on. So Thailand holds an election on May 14th after nearly a decade of a government led or backed by its royalist military after a coup in 2014. So we're going to go through a bit of a rundown of what you should expect. So what is being decided? Roughly 52 million of Thailand's 65 million population are eligible to cast votes for members of a new 500-seat House of Representatives for the next 4 years. Voters have two ballots, one for a local constituency representative and the other for their preferred party on a national level. There are 400 seats for winning constituency candidates and 100 party seats allocated on a proportional representation basis. Now, how will a leader be chosen? Parties winning more than 25 seats can nominate their prime ministerial candidate, although it is likely parties will strike deals between them to back certain candidates. Those candidates will be put to a vote, likely in August or September, of the legislature, comprised of a newly elected 500-seat lower house and a 250-seat comprised of members appointed by the military following its 2014 coup. Now remember, those 250 are all pro-military and pro-institution as such. To become prime minister, the winning candidate must have the votes of more than half of the combined houses, or 375 members. So who are the main contenders for the election? The election will be the latest bout in a long-running battle between parties backed by a conservative establishment with connections to the military and key institutions, and a progressive, pro-business opposition with a track record of wooing working-class voters and winning every election in the past 2 decades. Pheu Thai, a party controlled by the billionaire Shinawatra family, has a big lead in opinion polls, as it did in previous elections, followed by another opposition party, Move Forward, which is seeking to mobilise youth voters. They will go up against two parties led by former army chiefs involved in coups, incumbent Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha of the newly formed United Thai Nation Party and his mentor Prawit Wongsuwan of the ruling Palang Pracharat Party. Both parties draw backing from the urban middle classes and are regarded as representing the interests of Thailand's nexus of old money aristocrats and military elites who have long influenced politics here in the country. An important contender is the Bumjai Thai Party, a regional heavyweight whose seats could be crucial to determining who forms a government. The party's stature has grown with its successful push to make Thailand Asia's first country to legalize the sale of cannabis. Now, when are the results going to be known? Voting ends at 5 p.m. local time on Sunday, and the Election Commission says unofficial results will be released the same evening. It aims to certify 90% of the votes, or 475 of the 500 seats, within 60 days or by July 13th. The Commission and Alliance of Media Organisations are expected to provide updates on the vote count in the hours after polling closes. So to clarify that, they've basically said that they'll be able to give you a rough guesstimate by 11 p.m. on Sunday evening. So now, what happens after all of this? It might be weeks and possibly several months before Thailand gets an idea of what its next government will look like, depending on the outcome of the election. An outright majority or even a landslide may not be enough to form a government, and alliances with other parties will most likely be required. Thailand's constitution was redrafted by the military in 2017 in what many experts say was an attempt to neuter the power of parties that win elections. It prescribed an appointed senate, of which the majority of members have sided in votes with the ruling military-backed parties. So that's just a little kind of breakdown of what's going on this weekend. The election will be starting on Sunday morning, and I think it's up until 5 p.m. it finishes. For people who are here in Thailand, you are actually not allowed to purchase alcohol during this period. So from Saturday the 13th, so from today at 6 p.m. until Sunday at 6 p.m. you will not be allowed to buy alcohol in any shops, restaurants, or And actually, I've just found out, and many hotels are also have stopped doing it. Now, normally during these Buddhist holidays, you would find hotels would be serving, but actually a lot of them now for this upcoming election are not doing it. So just in case you're going away somewhere, just note that you won't be getting any booze for about 24 hours. But nevertheless, shouldn't be too much of a bother on you. Buy it the day before and keep it in your room and have a drink. That's how it's solved. Anyway, moving along. And of course, by the way, and also, I'd love to know your opinion on all of this. So leave a comment down below in that comment section. And don't forget to like this video, guys, if you're enjoying the content today. Now, another story. Tour guides fight back with proposal to party candidates. So everybody now, because it's the election that's coming up, they're all getting in as quickly as possible to try get promises from parties so that, you know, once the election is over, they can kind of hopefully be able to get the things that they're promised before the election, as happens in many, many countries. Nevertheless, tour guides have submitted a proposal to prime ministerial candidates of several political parties in a bid to eliminate illegal tour guides and nominee businesses. They also anticipate the newly proposed Tourist Guide Act will improve the scope of the profession, leading to more job opportunities. Representatives of the Professional Tourist Guides Association of Thailand yesterday visited the Office of Political Parties to submit a proposal to prime ministerial candidates seeking clarity on policies related to tour guides. Starting with the Pheu Thai party in the morning, Paisarn Sutawatwang, a committee member of the association, said the tourism industry has gained fewer benefits than it should because many foreign businesses and tour guides are returning to the country. Major political parties have not paid attention to this profession as most of them focus on developing tourist attractions, he said. Mr. Paisarn said there are almost 60,000 licensed tour guides, down from more than 70,000 in 2019, partly because some were uneasy about rejoining the industry, while others didn't renew their licenses. He said some people claim foreign tour guides are flooding the industry because there is a shortage of workers. But Mr. Paisarn insisted the number of English and Mandarin-speaking tour guides is sufficient to accommodate growing markets, with an estimated 20 to 30,000 English-speaking guides and at least 10,000 Mandarin-speaking guides. A shortage does exist with other languages, he acknowledged, such as Polish, Russian and Korean. Mr. Paisarn recommended solutions to solve this issue rather than allowing illegal foreign tour guides to work here. These options include hiring English-speaking local guides to assist foreign tour guides. For the long term, he called for policies to help the younger generation pursue a career in the profession. Mr. Paisarn said such initiatives would be facilitated by the Tourist Guide Council, the new body that was proposed in the draft of the Tourist Guide Act. The council would have the authority to take part in drafting regulations, take action against unlawful activities by cancelling tour guide licenses and investigating illegal tour guides and negotiating for better welfare and wages for workers. The council could also issue tour guide diplomas as well as propose amendments to inefficient regulations such as tour guide dress codes and a minimum tour guide number per group. So that's just the tour guides kind of getting in on it like everybody else. I do think there is actually a shortage of tour guides here in this country. And the markets that they highlight is actually, it's very important, Polish, Russian and Korean. Because what I have seen is actually there is a lot of illegal Korean guides here in Thailand. And they are doing the work. Now, how they get around it, and they kind of touch on it here, is what they do is they have one Thai guide that pretends to be working while the Korean guides go around doing the thing. But the problem is with these Korean guides is that they are working here illegal because they can't have work permits because you can't get a work permit to be a tour guide. And that is the problem. And a lot of these companies here in Thailand don't employ enough Thai people or have the necessary paperwork to be getting the amount of work permits that they need. So things do need to happen. I do think that creating awareness about this, facilitating classes in Korean, Russian and Polish and other languages that Thais are not up to scratch with just yet, I think is a good idea. And I think that would be definitely job opportunities for people in the future. But you're not going to learn Russian, Korean in Thailand. So I think one of the things is that you're probably going to have to send them to other countries and train them there and have them then come back. But that's just a little opinion. I'd love to know what you think about it all. And moving along. And a quick update and kind of a follow-on from a story we've covered many times here, but buying cannabis in Thailand may get harder after this election. The days of easily buying marijuana in Thailand may soon be over. 4 years after the Bumjai party won almost 4 million votes on a vow to decriminalize cannabis, most of the parties on Sunday's general election want to limit the use of cannabis to medical purposes only. I don't want my children to grow up in a country where drugs are easy to find and cannabis is liberalized, said Petung Tarn Shinawatra of the Pheu Thai party at a recent rally. Since decriminalization took effect about a year ago, cannabis has become a hot issue, dividing political parties as well as the nation's 52.3 million voters. Those opposed to the policy often cite growing concerns over the negative societal impact of the drug. Now there are an estimated 4,500 dispensaries that distributed in every province. The cannabis industry was expected to be worth $1 billion by 2025, according to the University of the Thai Chamber of Commerce. Now everyone is waiting to see how the weekend vote turns out, and we will see whether or not cannabis will be recriminalized and used only for medical purposes here in Thailand. Now, I was reading another interesting article about this, and it's talked about the farmers who have put in so much money into growing this. I do feel for these guys because, yes, they've invested their money, but there's also an issue that the government need to kind of put their hands up and take responsibility for in all this, is that you decriminalized the drug and then you made no rules or regulations around it. So after a month, you realize that you need to make a law because actually it was legally able, you could smoke it in schools. So you had to make a law and say, oh, you can't smoke it in schools. And this was the ridiculousness of how badly this was taught out. I do feel for the farmers. I do feel for people who've started up businesses. But at the end of the day, if people vote this weekend for anti-cannabis parties, then that's the nation saying that we don't want it anymore. But personally, I think if they want to get this really sorted out, is to have a referendum on it here in the country. Put it to the people and let them decide yes or no and go from there. Because I do feel for people who have invested so much money into this. But again, it's always very fuzzy when the Thai government is involved in it. And things, as we've learned during COVID, I mean, it's just, they're incapable at times of doing anything correctly. Needless to say, and moving on to the next story, South African man injured after he allegedly refused to pay a bill on Pattaya's walking street. A South African man has sustained head injuries after he allegedly refused to pay a bill at a go-go bar, getting into a chaotic dispute with security guards on Pattaya's walking street. The Pattaya City Police were notified of the incident at 1:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Police, emergency responders and the local news media arrived at the scene to find Mr. John Paul Viljoen, 40, a South African national. He had sustained head injuries and was bleeding. A group of security guards at the XS Go-Go nearby told local media that Mr. Viljoen had refused to pay his drinks and had an outstanding bill of 9,470 Thai baht. Mr. Viljoen became increasingly angry over his bill, crumpling it up and throwing it at one of the guards and trying to force his way out of the go-go bar, with security attempting to stop him and the two parties getting into a scuffle, said the guards. Security guards at the go-go stated they tried to de-escalate the situation before Mr. Viljoen, who was suspected to be intoxicated, fell and hit his head while trying to flee his bill and the go-go bar. Mr. Viljoen and the security guards were taken to the Pattaya City Police Station to negotiate and review CCTV footage of the incident. Mr. Viljoen finally agreed to pay the outstanding bill while in custody at the police station and was later released. No red card! However, Pattaya Police are continuing their investigation and will further review the incident later today. They encourage security guards and venue management to immediately call police if a customer doesn't want to pay a bill versus the attempt to resolve the situation themselves. And I think that is fairly good advice. But here is the thing I've noticed over the past number of weeks here in Thailand. The amount of stories about foreigners now getting into fights in bars, getting into scuffles, having problems with taxi drivers, is a daily situation within the news media. And I reckon you're only getting kind of like the tip of the iceberg when it's reported in the news. But it does seem to be out of control. And foreigners here suddenly, I mean, compared to 2019, and I'm trying to think back before COVID, because, you know, we had a bit of a break from it for 3 years here in Thailand because there wasn't a tourist to be seen. But now that they're back, now that the tourists are back, the amount of fights and scuffles and people not wanting to pay bar bills and British people, by the way, they seem to be in the news the most. All fighting and wanting to start fights with people. I mean, it's turning into some kind of a form of some Spanish resort town, you know, in certain parts of the country like Phuket and Pattaya. I know sometimes I complain about these rules and regulations that the police make up or the immigration make up, but then other times I'm starting to think I can understand where they're coming from. I mean, if people aren't behaving when they get here, right? My thing is too, you know what, if they're not behaving, if they're causing fights, if they're, you know, beating up people, they don't want to pay their bills, they're storming out of here, there and everywhere, you know what, send them back to their own countries and deport. Because you know what, they're not really wanted in the country. I do, and I have noticed over the last 6 to 8 months, a anger amongst people that I didn't see pre-COVID. And a lot of tourists are so quick these days to get angry and shout and scream and be annoyed all the time, whether they're in a hotel or in a bar. They're always taking it out on staff and whatnot in different places. And I really think people need to start checking themselves a bit more. They come on holiday, come to a foreign country. They expect it to be like their own country when they get here. It's not. Things are different. Things are done differently in this country. They have their own customs, their own way of doing things. But they don't want to accept that. And they feel that whatever country they're from, you should be operating the way we do in our country. And that's not how it is. And then they start the shouting and the screaming. And I've seen this firsthand. And I think it's an absolute disgrace. And I think tourists coming to this country need to cop the hell on when they get here. If you're not able to, you know, understand Thai culture and Thai life, then you know what? Stay at home. If you can't read a book before you come about what you should and shouldn't do in Thailand, stay home. That's my opinion. But I'd love to know what you think about it all. Sorry about the rant, but it is very, very true. Anyway, that's it for today's, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Now, I'm not sure when my next show is going to be. I'm thinking it might be Monday because we'll start to get a feeling for the election results and where this will be leading to. Are we going to be seeing problems ahead? Because I also read another story where it says basically that the Election Commission is trying to get this election nullified and drag it on another 5 or 6 months. And that's all to do with last week's pre-voting that went on and the amount of mistakes and what seems to be illegal activities during it. But nevertheless, that is it. Anyway, guys, we'll talk to you on Monday or Tuesday. Have a great weekend and stay safe out there. But ultimately, with this story or anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments down below. Because yes, this is a new show, but it's also a conversation. Now keep that conversation going. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the video, and do all the good stuff that does help that YouTube algorithm. But ultimately, my name is Kieran Mack. You've been listening to the Thai Expat Daily Show, and we will see you next time.